We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Latest headlines for the sports world.
Trending now.
Trending now.
Here's what's trending.
And there's a drive deep right field. Long gone from a can of three-hit night.
It's another big jack for B-Man.
Ozzie's turn to unload. Did he keep that fair? He did! Top of the chop!
Chip Carey with the call, Sports Radio 1990 game. It was great having Chip on today. He was very businesslike, though, B-Mac. I don't know if he was all that thrilled to be on with us. He did it because he's a consummate professional and does a great job, but I was hoping we could have resonated more and bonded.
What were you looking to get?
I don't know.
You were trying to be messy?
Just trying to be whimsical and fun. I got one chuckle out of them, though, so that's okay. So we know what the Braves are doing right now. As I referred to them earlier, they're like Chernobyl nuclear core hot. Ain't going to last. Right. Enjoy it while it lasts, but it can sustain to a certain degree. And you mentioned that when I said it can't possibly last, but you said, well, they can sustain a little bit with this deep lineup.
I mean, that's all you would like. I mean, if they can just sustain some of the production, you're good. You're smiling from ear to ear. But here you come with this. It's negative. You know, these negative statements. It's not going to last. It's not going to last.
You've been reprimanding me all day. Sometimes yes. I deserve it, though.
You got to be positive.
I know. I'm just getting old and bitter.
Yeah, you can't be bitter all the time.
Can't be bitter all the time.
Yes. But they're sitting atop of the NL East.
They are. So. Well, the key is the reason why it can sustain itself to a certain degree, they can still get quality offense and score four or five runs a night. Well, Brian Snitker nails down the precise reason why this can sustain itself to a degree.
Put some good at bats. I mean, they're working and all their bank. The work is paying off, and I don't feel like they're trying to do too much. I feel like they're just having good at bats.
That's what it boils down to. 8-9 pitch at bats. And Kevin Seitzer, the hitting coach. Even the young guys are so patient. Ronald Acuna is very patient.
Everybody.
And if you don't get a pitch to that you absolutely love, you can still foul it off and live to face another pitch.
It's contagious.
It
from
is.
From top
right?
to bottom, this lineup has really been. You know, getting to the plate, standing at the plate with a lot of confidence, and they know how good they are. They know they're good, so the moment is never too big for them, and it's contagious.
Isn't that the most important thing?
Yes.
You know you're good.
You know you're
confidence
good.
Is everything in sports.
No question.
Well, Mike Soroka certainly has a lot of confidence. You know, he kind of sputtered around a little bit last night, but he realizes, hey, you know, these guys can bail me out. So let's hear from the Braves right-hander.
Yeah, it feels nice, especially when you know that, you know, you give up one, and that's okay, and then you stop it at one, because you know that, I mean, that's there. You keep your foot on the gas, keep attacking, and if they get you on one or two, then that's all right, because they're going to come back and put up four or five.
Yeah, they bail you out. But pitchers, you have to bail out this offense from time to time. You can't you can't rely on them all the time. They're not always going to score seven runs post-seventh inning.
Yeah.
How about Brian McCann? Remember how I mentioned how, and you and I are both talking about this, and you kind of spread it over the NFL, such a perfect blend of veterans and young kids. You got those young kids who are so exciting to watch, and you got the veterans who kind of restore order a little bit, but they don't let the they don't neuter the young guys.
So it's a good mix.
And the young guys kind of make the veterans feel a little bit younger,
and
right?
The thing is, when you have young players and veteran players, usually there's a gap in the relationship because the age difference. I think with the Braves, you can tell they have chemistry. It doesn't matter how young you are, how experienced you are. We're all in this together to achieve one goal. And they're having fun. They're having fun.
And the thing is, Brian McCann's been hyper-productive here. Nick Markakis, who never says anything. I don't know if I've ever even heard his voice. He talks about Brian McCann's longevity.
He's awesome. You know, I grew up playing against B-Mac, and you know, he's still the same as he was back then. You know, he's been around a long time. He's a baseball guy. He's tremendous to any ball club, and you know, we're just thankful to have him.
Did they wake him up from a nap? Nick Marquet, he's so stoic and so hilarious. But Chip Carey is on to something there. Nick Markakis has been the consummate pro since he's gotten there. He's been He's been a rock.
Yeah.
And you know, it's always nice when you have that locker room. You've got that one dude. He's just a rock. He's going to be the same every day. He's going to go about his business, lead by example. That's what Nick Markakis does. All right, do you hear this now? Now there's even more breaking. Remember how Paul Crane came out and said Hawks in deep negotiations with Cleveland. Potentially Kevin Love could be thrown into the deal. Now, apparently, the Hawks and Pelicans discussing that number four pick. Who are the Hawks looking at that number four pick? Who could it be?
I know Paul mentioned Cam Reddish, his name tied to the fifth selection, right? But I don't think he's that hot of a name that he will be gone by the fourth selection.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, clearly the NBA teams, as far as the teams that have done their due diligence in studying these players, really believe he is starting to really, you know, gain a lot of momentum in this draft. But, I mean, if you're trying to get to the fourth selection, and I do believe the Pelicans will entertain trying to trade out of the fourth selection. If you're trying to get the fourth overall selection, you got to go get a guy like Hunter, who probably won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Culver. It depends on who Travis and Coach Pierce, you know, Coach Pierce, who they are in love with.
Man, I think something's going to happen Thursday night. We can't even possibly comprehend.
The Hawks will be involved in a trade.
Heavily involved.
They will be.
Well, you think about this. You know, when the Falcons drafted Chris Lynch, remember I was like, But the day of the draft, he was shooting up people's draft boards.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen here, too. I mean, you never know.
And the same with McGarry. Remember.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. All right, it's B-Mac and Rob Tribble filling in for Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And now we're going to switch over to the we're going to hear from LeVar Ball in an interesting sort of way. But first of all, Kawhi Leonard just basking in the glow of a championship where he finally gets to be the alpha male, not the third banana like he was in San Antonio.
Enjoy this moment, and have fun with it. Aha, ha, ha, ha.
Everybody making fun of his laugh. What are you watching over there? What are you doing? You're a typical millennial. You're watching your pad. What are you watching?
I'm watching. You really want to know what I'm watching?
Yeah, I do want to know.
I was getting ready for college football. I was watching some Florida State.
Oh, I don't blame you about that. I don't blame you about that. You want to mention college football at 1:40?
I mean,
our last segment, you want to? Why not? We both love it so much.
I know. Really? I mean, but I think Kawhi should get that laugh copyright.
I think the funniest one was the one that happened during the press conference.
Yeah, and that's what he was trying to see me. Like, he didn't really do it as well as I thought, but
It was like the weirdest sounding laugh.
It sounded like an elk.
Because he's such a quiet, stoic dude. Yeah. He's like Nick Markakis.
Yeah.
He's kind of quiet and stoic in that sort of way.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised to see Kawhi stay in Toronto because I believe he really was so appreciative in how they welcomed him.
Isn't that what you want?
And the love, yes.
Is he going to get that love out in L.A.?
In San Antonio.
No, he was behind all those other guys. He knew he had a finals MVP.
Man,
but he could be the alpha male.
He is the
alpha male. He could run for mayor after he's retired.
In Toronto, behind Drake.
Yeah, please. Drake's corrupt administration. Like I said, Drake is about as edgy as a damn Frisbee. All right, LeVar Ball. We're going to give you a steady diet of LeVar Ball vowel movements. We'll save the best for last because ESPN condemning some statements. But here's LeVar Ball talking about, my intellect is just a little bit more elevated than everyone else's.
These suckers, I'm playing chess. Y'all playing checkers. The best way to get Lonzo out of L.A. is I said, you know what? I don't like New Orleans. I don't like New Orleans. Lonzo ain't going nowhere. He the best in the world. L.A. Lakers ain't going to never let him go. First thing they do, exactly what I want to do, let him go. Because it's raggedy over there. Even the writing is on the new shirt that he going to wear. It said no L.A. on it.
I do love the old school
slang.
He said
it's raggedy.
Though. Raggedy. What was on the flicked it. Raggedy. Chump. I want to bring back the word chump. Should look into that. All right. And LeVar Ball also has a not-so-good forecast for the Lakers now that his prodigal son is leaving for New Orleans.
The Lakers is all crashing down. Like I said before, they had to change the coach. They ended up changing the coach. Even if Lonzo would have stayed there, he's not going to have a great feeling on the fact that they didn't believe in him the first time. So now, don't come at him now talking about, we're trying to win. We believe in you now. You can't really believe that. Lonzo has never been a piece of the puzzle that you add. He's always been that piece. He's always been a leader.
So he don't need people to mentor him and do this and all this. You need to let him do what he does, which is win. He know how to make every player good around him.
I like what you said, though. Too bad his son doesn't have his dad's edge, though.
I'm trying to tell you, if Lonzo just had a piece of his dad edginess, I mean, he would be a heck of a player. Just a little bit. You don't need to have everything his dad has as far as confidence and the arrogance and, you know, the things that he says, but just have a little edge.
A little edge is a good thing.
Yes.
I've been accused of having an edge. I'm okay with it. I embrace it fully. And my edge is getting sharper as I get older.
Not like a Frisbee?
Not like a Frisbee. Oh, and by the way, though, with all the bombastic stuff from LaVar Ball, this is going to be kind of heartening for all of us. He's also a bit of a romantic.
Go ahead, LaVar, before I get back to him.
LaVar, can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question
here. You can switch gears with me anytime.
Let's stay focused here.
All right. ESPN condemns his gross comments to Molly Karam on First Take. That wasn't over the top.
No, it was not. It was not.
You know, I understand. I understand Me Too. I understand feminism. I understand all that. But guess what? Here's some news for you. When the construction workers stop whistling at you, you're going to miss it.
I mean, ask what, Aisha Curry?
When they stop whistling at you, you're going
to
miss it.
I think he was caught up in the moment. He wasn't trying to be, you know, slick with his response. You can switch gears with me anytime, meaning you can change the topic anytime.
No,
you
that's
can
not change what the subject.
Yes, I'm giving him the benefit of
it. I'm not. There were strong sexual overtones.
Because it was like his – everybody else was like, what? He didn't catch that because he didn't have any ill will intent.
Well, he's being flirtatious.
No, he wasn't trying to be.
She's lovely and very good at her job, and she has to sit there and deal with Stephen A. Smith and.
LaVar was not trying to flirt with Molly.
Really, you don't get that, really? Yes, he was. Bo, right?
No,
you're so wrong on this.
No, I'm right with this one.
No, you're not.
I'm right.
So you kind of concede a point from time to time.
He was.
I feel like Max Kellerman to your Stephen A. Smith.
Listen, I'm right. Can we replay it again?
Replay it again. Replay it again.
He was not trying to be slick.
He was being flirty.
No, he was not.
Listen again closely.
And I actually saw it.
Right, go ahead, before I get back to him.
LaVar, can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question here.
You can switch gears with me anytime.
Yeah, you can switch gears.
Let's stay focused here. Mm-hmm. All
right. And he was like, what? He
played it off. But they're condemning his gross comment because we have to exaggerate the outrage for a really seemingly innocuous things, because that's what we do nowadays. Everyone has to be outraged and find something to be offended by. Oh dear. But anyway, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to be slick. I'm with LaVar.
All right.
This time.
Well, you know what? You're also a gentleman, though. You are giving someone the benefit of a doubt. I guess I'm a little bit more cynical.
I mean, you've been negative the entire time.
Kaiko won't be 2015. Kaiko, he would never see that.
Well, I don't think he will be. I don't think he will be.
KD will never be the KD before.
We have seen the last of the best of KD.
The Bats will not continue to do this.
Well, they won't. They're not at this rate.
Listen.
They're shades of gray with what I say.
No, there's no gray.
There's
no gray at all.
Like I've just been disappointing you all day.
Yes.
Sucking the life out of you is what I'm doing. I'm a soul sucker. Hey, we got Braves insider Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20. And what is there not to talk about with the Braves? This is all going to be positives. Well, for the most part.
I mean, if you jump in, it won't be all positive.
Oh, dear. Here we go. Do you know, ironically, you're being negative about me being negative by exaggerating how negative I'm being?
It's contagious. It's
contagious. So you can still blame me. Yes, that's well done.
It's your fault.
Hey, we get to talk a little college football at 1:40. Why not? We'll find something. We're always up for
it. We can easily find
something. Dude, we're like 9 weeks away from the start of college football season.
You're not excited, though. I don't even like how you sound right now. You're not even enthused.
What, that wasn't excited. I said, dude, we're like 9 weeks away from the start.
He wasn't excited.
Oh, my God, I quit.
Like, Matt, we're here. College football. Smell the grass. Let's lay out in the grass. Like the white lines. Let's just lay out in the grass. Exactly. Les Miles style.
I think I'm the one that's getting now emotionally exhausted by this whole thing. He's Brian McFadden. I'm Rob Tribble, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I'm filling in for Andy and Randy. Of course, Dukes and Bell will be with us at the at 2 o'clock, of course. And it's kind of been a fun show today. We got mildly breaking news with the potential of a Kevin Love thing with the Braves and Braves with the Hawks. And now Hawks apparently flirting with the Pelicans for that number 4 pick. The draft is going to be a whirlwind of a night. I think it'd be so exhausting to be a producer for TV for the draft coverage because things are going to be going in 10,000 different
directions. It's
going
to be entertaining.
Yep.
I mean, we just saw the NFL draft, you know, was really entertaining. And it caught our attention.
It did.
Clearly, the first 10 picks, it's going to be, you know, you don't want to move. You don't want to move from your seat.
You really don't. You really don't. And by the same token, even stuff outside the top 10, it's not going to be necessarily exciting draft night, but there's going to be those guys that are drafted in the teens and the 20s, even the second round, that end up making an impact. I go back to Fred VanVleet, undrafted. A dude that fought like a dog to make the roster in Toronto. Look how impactful he was during the finals. You never diamonds in the rough exist mm-hmm. everywhere.
You just got to be able to develop. Yeah. That's the thing. You know, Draymond was a second round draft pick.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Just finding a way to get guys 35th. And develop them. So
just takes the keen eye and a good coach to develop these guys to where they can reach their potential. Well, Joe Patrick has fully reached his potential and peaked professionally by working for this godforsaken radio station. He's going to join us next on Sports Radio 929 The Game. It's Andy and Randy. No Andy and Randy. We get Brian McFadden, the former Steeler, owner of two Super Bowl rings, and me, Rob Tribble. B-Mac, I still get a kick out of working with Tony Schiavone. Watching him.
Listen, I was just talking about that.
You wanted to get a picture with him.
The NFL guy wants to get a photograph with Tony Schiavone.
I
was watching wrestling.
Right? I know.
I actually learned how to tackle people, wrestling people as a young child, trying to do what they were doing from what I saw on TV. That's my scoop game. If anybody know anything about wrestling, being able to scoop somebody,
yeah,
that was my go-to. In elementary school, I was the best scooper we had on campus.
Scoop them up and drop them down on their upper back.
Yes. My backbreaker was never on point. You know, the Lex Luger backbreaker move, but I've been in a few backbreakers from my older cousin. So
the figure four actually works too if you ever try it on your friends.
It's for real. Yeah, that is some pain.
Hey, we got Joe Patrick, our 92.9 The Game Braves insider. Joe, you've got to be having a blast going to the ballpark lately, my friend.
Good times. It's a boatload of fun. It's always nice when the team is scoring like the most runs it's scored in over a decade over the last 10 games here. So, yeah, everything is great in Braves country right now.
You know, they're not going to sustain to this level, but this isn't negative. This is still an offense that can sustain itself throughout the rest of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. Like, they're on kind of a historic pace for, you know, like a franchise historic pace right now. And you're right. Like, that level of offensive, you know, production is not going to hold up throughout the whole season. But I think on the other side of the coin, you would say that this offense has so many players that can kind of get hot to a point that it can carry a lineup by itself that you're not going to really see this team totally slump. Like, it's never going to really completely go away when you've got guys like Freddie Freeman, Josh Donaldson. We've seen Austin Riley get hot enough to kind of carry a lineup. Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies is heating up. So you've got so many guys that are dangerous in this lineup that it's going to be really kind of an anomaly if they all go cold at the same time.
With Keiko slated to make his first start this weekend, realistically speaking, what are your expectations for Keiko? Not just his first start, but his entire season in a Braves uniform.
Yeah, you know, obviously you got to be patient with some of these guys coming up who have had, even guys who are coming in at the beginning of a season who have had maybe like an abbreviated spring training or something like that. There's always a grace period where they kind of have to get reacclimated into the team. Keuchel is supposed to be making his, he should be making his debut with the Braves on Friday when they begin their road trip here. But yeah, I mean, I think the good thing about Keuchel is he's not a guy who needs to be in the mid to upper 90s. That's not his style of pitching. His pitching is precise and being around the plate and getting ground balls. So I think that may be a little bit more conducive to, you know, having kind of this weird start to the season that he's had. So I think that we will see him get up to speed and get in his rhythm quicker than maybe we would see with some other guys who really need to build up a lot of strength in that arm. But, you know, I think there will still be a grace period, but, you know, he's known this is going to been part of his season, you know, since he had his holdout or his non-signing. So I think he's prepared for this. He's been, you know, getting ready for this moment. So I hopefully we see his best as soon as possible.
All right, talk about Mike Foltynewicz. All of his issues are between the ears. The velocity's come back and everything else. What are your thoughts on what we've seen so far and what we can see going forward?
Yeah, you know, so it was really funny. Like you said, the velocity is back, and it's almost even higher than we've ever seen it. He touched 99 in his last start, but you know, and it's funny because his last start was probably his best start in terms of the final numbers, right? He went, I think, six innings, one earned run, or something like that. But I don't think it was his best start that he's made since he's come back. I think that there have been starts where he's been more consistent throughout his start, but he's given up, you know, a big homer here or there. The home run bug has kind of bit him this year much more so than in his previous years. And I think that, you know, in his last start, he was kind of effectively wild. I think that that's kind of what had guys off balance, was that he was, you know, buzzing a few, like, straight back to the backstop there. But then he would, you know, then he'd throw one in for a called strike three. So, you know, just kind of keeping guys off balance with that wildness. I think eventually you want to see him control it. But I think the good news is that you're right. The velocity is back. The break is sort of back. Now it's just about getting that command back that he had, that was so effective for him last year, especially with that slider, kind of being able to locate it and get guys off balance with the slider.
Based on what we know now with the Braves, we know how elite their offense is. Hopefully the pitching will become more consistent. Do they have enough to compete, not just in the National League, but to make a deep run when it comes to postseason play?
Yeah, I mean, I think they do. I think they, you know, I'll still say I think they need a closer. But I think, you know, this bullpen does kind of take a beating from people, you know, pundits and fans and stuff like that. I saw a great stat this morning that the Braves bullpen has the lowest ERA in Major League Baseball since May 16th, which is around the time Austin Riley was called up. I don't think anyone would have thought that the Braves would have the best bullpen ERA. Simply because I think they're still top five in Major League Baseball in blown saves this season. So you've got blown saves that kind of skew people's opinion about, you know, how the bullpen as a whole is operating. But I think, you know, when it comes down to pitching, you've got starting rotation that's starting to come up to speed, kind of what we thought it would be at the beginning of the season, or even better than we thought it would be at the beginning of the season, now that you have the addition of Dallas Keuchel, Fulton Nevich coming back. And I think this bullpen is really rounding into form. You know, they made the trade for Anthony Swarzak. That was kind of a lottery ticket trade that has turned out to be a winning ticket for the Braves. He's got a sub-1 ERA and a sub-1 whip, and I think 12 innings pitched so far this season. So he's been a great addition to this team. I think they just still need that. Once you get that back into the bullpen closer, you can slide Luke Jackson back into a setup role, and then I think you're really set. I mean, and this team has been one of the best teams in baseball over the last 2 weeks.
Follow him on Twitter at J.A. Patrick. That's capitalized J, capitalized P, at J.A. Patrick 200. He is our own 92.9 The Game Braves insider Joe Patrick joining us right now. All right, let's look at the closer market. Teams are going to come to a conclusion whether or not to be buyers or sellers. I look at maybe Kirby Yates out there in San Diego. They're 13 games out of first place. Who could possibly exist out there as a closer for the Braves?
Yeah, I think he's one. I think the other one you really have to look at is Will Smith. Obviously, the Giants are well out of it, and they're going to be wanting to add prospects, which the Braves have. The Braves have prospects that I think the Giants would be interested in, guys that are kind of getting up toward that level of being ready for the major leagues, you know, pretty soon. They're not long developing prospects. So I think that, you know, Will Smith is the guy that I have my eye on. I think there are going to be a lot of teams they're going to have to compete for in this market, though, because, you know, the bullpens are not good all around baseball. And I think there are several teams that are in need of this back end of the bullpen relief here and in the trade market. So, you know, I think it's going to be tough, but Will Smith is the guy I have my eyes on. I think he's going to be the most realistic target for the Braves.
You know, one thing I'm impressed about, you know, when the Braves won their World Series back in 95, you had Mike Devereaux and Luis Polonia coming off the bench, and they were awesome. This bench right now, Matt Joyce is going to give you a great at-bat every night when he's called upon. So is Charlie Culbertson. You got Camargo and whoever isn't catching that night. This bench is pretty good.
It is, and the Braves have Ender Inciarte, who will be coming back pretty soon. He's a Gold Glove winner, and he's not going to be able to get into this lineup as it currently exists. You know, you're not going to want to change anything with the way that this outfield is operating right now. So you've got another guy who is, like I said, a Gold Glove winner coming back to be on your bench possibly. So the Braves have, you know, and some of these guys are going to be guys that are interesting to other teams around baseball to add to their roster. So I think that, you know, they have strength and depth on the bench, like you say, and they can use some of those guys, hopefully, as trade chips to make a deal for any pieces they might need, whether it's a closer, whether it's anything else, once the trade market really starts to heat up here.
What do you think about baseball right now? Look at the Padres and Rockies. They combined for 92 runs in their four-game series. That's the highest scoring in a series in history, beating out 88. How do you feel about what baseball is right now?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I think the month of May, there was more homers hit in the month of May than in any other month in baseball.
It's crazy.
You know, every time at the end of the game, we get the post-game report from the Braves communication staff, and there's always, you know, these statistics of things that have happened in games or streaks that have been happening recently where it's, you know, the most ever since blah, blah, blah. And like we've talked about, you know, the Braves have bullpen issues, quote-unquote, but the Braves have also had the best bullpen in Major League Baseball in the last month. So, you know, you look at that and you say, you know, where are these teams spending their money? Where are they trying to add value to their team and how they get the best bang for their buck when they're building their rosters? And clearly it's about scoring runs. It's about adding bats that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. Strikeouts be darned. You know, that's not really much of a care anymore. It's all about the long ball. And, you know, personally, I think it makes the game a little less interesting. You know, you say that Chick's big long ball and all that stuff, but you know, I've always kind of liked the strategy of, you know, you don't see stealing bases anymore. Really, you know, lots of these things are kind of getting shoved to the edges, and it's more just about, you know, individual production at the plate. So I think it makes the game a little less interesting, but I may be old school in that regard.
Oh, Joe, I agree with you, Adam. I totally agree. I like watching runs manufactured. I like bases being stolen. But, Joe, you have an impressive launch angle. That's all I know.
Right. Well, it's great. I mean, Josh Donaldson has been talking recently about how, you know, he's finally getting the exit velocity that he wants. Now he just has to work on his launch angle to finally get his numbers up. It's crazy how much these players actually care about this stuff.
All right, Joe, we appreciate it, man. Thanks. I'm so tired of the baseball vernacular. It's gotten so weird. I like the old school stuff, B-Mac. I like manufacturing runs, stealing bases.
It's a different era.
I know.
You got to be able to adjust.
Well, I'm not going to stop watching. I'm just saying, it's just I kind of miss starting pitchers going into the seventh inning. Then you get your setup guy, then your closer, and that long reliever, he might pitch three times a week. But all right, let's do some college football, man. We have to get our fix. We're both college football junkies. Where are we going to go with it? Any damn well place we please. That's coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our Deshaun Tate was feeble attempt at the 40. That will never get old, by the way. We should just play that on a loop for the next 15 minutes leading up to Dukes.
I mean, if you just listen to the audio, you would have thought he was running fast.
Running for his life, actually. It's like he had some
advice.
Hostile carnivorous tribesman coming after him.
You got to be relaxed.
Yeah.
You can't be tense.
I think he was running with his fist clasped, grinding through it. No, this guy's just
gonna flow. He ran the 40 barefoot, I don't understand that logic.
A lot of people run faster barefoot. At least they feel like they're running faster barefoot.
I mean, for time, no. Put something on your feet. You need traction.
Well, that hilarious audio brought to you by Strayer University. Let's get it. Unlike our own Deshaun Tate, who didn't get anything but a nice solid 5.7 or whatever it might be. All right, college football, my friend. We're like, 9 weeks out from the start of college football?
Yes.
Do you see any team getting into the playoffs that has not gotten into the playoffs before? I've got two that I'm kind of interested in.
My number one would be Michigan. And here's why.
Urban's gone. Just like LeBron leaving the Eastern Conference.
Yes,
that opened up for Toronto.
That will open up a lot for Big Ten. For other teams in the Big Ten, Urban Meyer is gone. The game against Ohio State will be in Michigan. Josh Gattis, the new OC in charge, Harbaugh has decided just to allow him to do whatever he needs to do offensively.
Got Shea back.
Shea Patterson, an experienced quarterback, back. We know they're loaded with talent, even though, you know, every year they're losing key guys to the NFL. But this is this has to be Harbaugh's year. And I know we've been saying that for the last few years.
It really does now, though, right?
With Urban gone.
It's got to be.
And one would say, as far as when it comes to the most important position on the football field, we know Justin Fields is penciled in to be the starting quarterback for Ohio State. But Shea Patterson, as far as the experience he has, and now knowing that he will be a part of a more wide-open offense compared to what we've been seeing Michigan do as of late with his wide receivers and with a talented, experienced offensive line. Shea Patterson probably is the best quarterback in the Big Ten right now.
You know, I was reading something Barrett Salee did not too long ago for CBS Sports. We have not had a first-time national champion in college football since Florida under Steve Spurrier in 96.
Been a long time.
It's been the Blue Bloods, my friend. The Blue Bloods have been running the show. I'm looking at Oregon.
Mm.
That offensive line is back. It's stout. Pac-12, not all that physical. That offensive line's physical. Oh, you've got a pretty good quarterback also, don't you?
Yeah, Justin.
And they
you know what?
They beefed up their D-line a little bit too. They're like a dark horse for me.
I think for Oregon to get there, especially with how bad we believe the Pac-12 will be, they got to be undefeated.
They do.
They can't have any mishaps.
No blemishes.
A team like Michigan, they can have one loss and still find a way to get into the playoffs. A team like Oregon, whoever comes out of the Pac-12, they need to be undefeated.
That's true. Who is one team that comes to mind that doesn't give a flip about Clemson? Clemson don't bother us. We ain't afraid of Clemson. That's Syracuse. Remember last year? And 2 years ago, they beat Clemson. And
they
carried them. And last year, at Clemson, gave them all they could handle. Clemson finally scratched and clawed 27-23. But could Syracuse be a team that's going to shock everybody?
Well, Dino has been doing some real good things. I mean, he's doing a lot with less, not necessarily bringing in the best prospects from the high school ranks, but yet and still being able to develop guys. The biggest concern with me when it comes to Syracuse, life without Dungy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he seems like he was the quarterback there forever. Now you move on from Dungy. You know what?
Tommy DeVito is the guy.
A guy that comes in with a high regard. Mm-hmm. They really believe he can really provide the same impact that Dungy provided. Doesn't have the same experience. And I think that's going to be a big hurdle for them. But yet and still, he has nice skilled players surrounding him. But as far as just in the ACC alone, Clemson is the gap of separation between Clemson and the other teams. It's a large gap.
But they get Clemson at home in September, and there's no tape on the DeVito kid. They don't know what they're going to necessarily get.
There's no tape on DeVito, but Clemson has so many pro players.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I tell people all the time, like when I played at Florida State, you know, I played corner. So any given Saturday throughout 13 regular season ball games or 12, whatever it was we played, I might have played against three or four guys that played wide receiver that were draftable guys.
Yeah.
And because of that, my talent always put me in positions to be successful because for the majority of Saturdays, these guys I were going against,
Show up, put the helmet on. You're good.
Wasn't going to get a shot. So if I was just disciplined in what I was supposed to do as far as play calls, I would be successful. No. Clemson has that same advantage. Most of their guys will get NFL opportunities.
It's crazy.
A lot of guys they're playing against won't. So when you're playing against teams like Syracuse, if you just be disciplined, your talent will make you be successful. So the one game I think that I'm excited to watch, and this is an ACC matchup, it would be against Georgia Tech.
I know.
The first game.
It'll be just fun to see what Tech looks like now, new complexity.
I don't know the last time we've seen Georgia Tech not run a generic style offense. Even when Ralph Friesian was there, remember, they was still a bit generic.
They're throwing the ball around the yard, though, with Joe Hamilton, though.
Yeah, Mighty Joe, but yet and still they ran the option with Joe Burns, you know what I mean? And Mighty Joe, you had Kelly Campbell at the wide receiver position. So they had some still skilled players.
Des White had some dudes.
They were still a bit generic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now we don't know exactly what we will see. And for Tech, you have nothing to lose.
You're
supposed to go to Clemson and get blown out. Clemson don't know exactly what you will look like. You got new uniforms. You finally got rid of the Russell. I mean, I think you did that like 2 years ago with Adidas.
Yeah.
You got new uniforms, a new coach, and Jeff Collins, who I really believe in.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in.
He's just, at least he has an idea of, I got to market that. I got to be P.T. Barnum and a coach as well. I got to market this team.
But you know what? For Clemson to have any slip-ups, it's going to be on Clemson.
Yeah.
They might come out one Saturday and just be extremely flat. They might just be extremely flat and just lay down and then try to wake up in the fourth quarter. By then it's a little too late. So
because every year Syracuse or an NC State will drive Clemson Pitt, crazy and push them to the brink.
We've seen Pitt do it. We've seen Syracuse do it. It's always that one team in the ACC that will catch Clemson when they're not prepared, and it can become a dogfight.
And you remember Nick Saban came out and said, we lost our humility last year.
Yeah,
if Clemson suffers from that same plight, That's when that Saturday could come around where they lay down and somebody sneaks up and bites them, right? Yep.
No question.
Who's the team you're fascinated with? You said Michigan's one. What about LSU? Can they duplicate what they did last year? I'm just not a believer yet.
I'm not a believer yet. I like Joe Burrow. Joe Cool is what I call him. Finally got, you know, stability at the quarterback position. But I think they just missed their window of opportunity. Right now in the West, just in the West alone, you start with Alabama. The team that I'm really hyped about is Texas A&M.
I know, because Jimbo's been recruiting,
but
bro.
Get this, though. If A&M, if they're legit, they're going to earn it. You got to travel to Clemson.
You got to come to Athens.
You got to come to Athens.
Yeah, they're really going
to
earn
you
it.
You got to go to LSU. You get Alabama at home, but it doesn't matter. So if you're going to be legit, we will know for sure. Starting off early, I think week two, you travel to Clemson, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that team, though, is going to be a competitive team. And Kellen Mond played real good football in year one under Jimbo, so I think he will continue.
Oh, he put that team on his back, and they almost beat Clemson at home last year. They gave him all they could handle. He was making play after play after play.
Yeah. Yeah. So, with LSU, I mean, the thing about LSU, and it's, you know, I know some LSU fans might not like hearing this. They're just an in-the-way team. That's it.
They're just in the way.
They're in the way. Talented team to be in the way, but for whatever reason, they can't get over the hump to be a national – to be in that national championship conversation.
It was that Alabama game at home last year.
You got shut out.
Got shut out at home.
How many times are we going to see this? Where your offense just decides not to show up. That's what I mean. They're in the way team.
All right, here's my four. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Oregon. Georgia gets in undefeated, regular season. They might be about beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, but they're both getting in.
Two teams from the SEC?
Yes, sir. It's happened before. It can happen again. How about that for a hot sports take to end this nonsense today, my friend?
Wow. Two teams.
Are you
being a bit biased when you just threw Georgia in?
Yeah, probably. We're going to come back and wrap it up. Hand it off to Dukes and Bell. It's Andy and Randy, Rob Tribble, Bryant McFadden, filling in Sports Radio 99 again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.